Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I am coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we turn the page on training camp and preseason as we get ready for Packers Week 1 showdown with the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil on Friday night. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got.
Admitting your mistakes.
We got the bad, we got.
Sean Clifford.
We got the ugly, we got.
Anders Carlson, wide right. I mean, you couldn't script how ugly that thing was. Corey Banky, how the hell are you? How you doing, buddy?
What's going on? How we doing? I can't believe it's Packers season. It's crazy.
The gloves are back. We are ready to talk some football.
It's crazy town. Are you ready to go to Brazil?
I got to admit, I am jazzed, man. I am pumped. I leave tomorrow night. Cannot wait. It's going to be a party. Brazil, I think the fans are really, really excited for American football in general, but certainly the Packers fans in Brazil, they are geeked up, and I'm excited to join them and watch this contest because, you know, it's historic. And most importantly, it involves the Green Bay Packers. That's the most important part.
Yeah.
We know
toaster
this, right?
Strudel. Green Bay Packers. I'm ready for the draft. Let's skip the season. Let's win the Super Bowl, and then let's have the draft in Green Bay. How about that?
Exactly. We're the first round. We're picking 32nd, so we get to marinate in how awesome the Packers are while we're waiting for them to get on the clock. That's a hot hat you got there, Banky. That's a sweet little deal. It's looking good.
I like it. NFL draft.
Come on now. Corey's ready to simulate the season in his Madden. In his Madden franchise. Just get to 2025. I mean, it is wild that we are on the doorstep of week one. It feels like, I know the NFL has the longest offseason of all the major sports, and it always feels long. But I got to admit, Banky, this offseason felt a little longer. I don't know why.
I don't know. I feel like it felt short to me. Like, it just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It felt short, and then all of a sudden we're here in training camp. Brian was just ruthless. So, like, basically all the players you grew to like, bye.
Bye. Hi.
Grant DeBose. Well,
maybe not.
See
even
you.
We
bye.
Are out. We out.
Michael Pratt, quarterbacks. I love it. I love how ruthless he was. I like this ruthless side of Brian G. I'm really enjoying it. Because I don't have to remember any of the players, so, you know,
right.
It's nice.
Just like,
it's like, oh,
you know,
all those people that you guys watched at practice, no one cares. Bye.
You know what they do care about? They care about the hotness. It's time to get to it. Let's do it. Oh, yeah. It's time for the hotness. Oh, baby, I love that track. I mean, you talk about guys that we watched all summer long, right? And guys at practice and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that didn't mean a whole hell of a lot to some of the guys. But some other guys made a name for themselves this summer and put that stuff on tape in the preseason, including this gentleman here, one Aaron Mosby, who I got to say had the play of the preseason when he tears around the edge here on the Ravens and causes a strip sack fumble that gets returned for a touchdown. Let's take a look at this, because this is the definition of hotness right here. I mean, off the ball, doesn't fall for the cheese, destroys the quarterback, and then one of the guys you were mentioning, Anthony Johnson Jr., very exciting play. One last chance to score a touchdown in Lambeau. He did a Lambeau leap and then was promptly cut a few days later and is now a member of the New York Giants.
So, there's a little controversy about that in our Patreon happy hour last week.
How's that? Oh, the Anthony Johnson Jr. cut?
Like yeah, Zane Anderson over Anthony Johnson Jr. Pickup take. The rise of one Rich Bisaccia in the hierarchy of the Green Bay Packers coaching staff and the seemingly influence he has over personnel.
The outsized influence, some might say.
Some might say that.
Yeah, there were certain members of our happy hour that were saying
that. It's interesting how your special teams goes down, but your influence goes up. I wonder how that works.
It is interesting, is it not?
How does
that work?
You
go from 22nd in 2022 to 29th in 2023, and
you get more decisions.
Get an expanded role on the staff? I don't know. Hey, it's not my squad. It's not my program. That's under the purview of one Matt LaFleur, and he seems to think it's worth doing. So, hey. We'll see if the special teams and Zane Anderson in particular is worthy of the name special teams. My thing was on cutdown day, and I got some pushback from some folks inside the building, but I'm like, it's just so funny we hear about the importance of special teams, right? And they keep a guy like Zane Anderson because, well, he's a core special teams player. Yeah, but your special teams have gotten worse, and they're not good. So why do you want the core players from those bad special teams? I don't understand that. Like, he's a core guy. You're telling me Anthony Johnson Jr. can't do what Zane Anderson does on special teams? Because I know Zane Anderson can't do what Anthony Johnson Jr. does from scrimmage. So what are we doing here? I don't know. See, you got me all riled up. I had the 53-man roster down further after news on the script that you, I know, didn't read. So
I read it.
You're just getting me going right away.
I read it. Don't you worry. You're a little
hard. You're pushing two tree buttons right off the top there. I like it. We're in midseason form. It's good stuff. Let's get to some Packers news because there is plenty of it after we haven't discussed anything for months on end. Starting with the Packers trading for a quarterback. In one Malik Willis.
I love this.
I got to admit, I never have been a monster fan of Malik Willis from when he was at Liberty to entering the NFL draft and then being drafted, etc., his time with the Titans. But I do like the idea of a guy who has a ton of tools and they see some upside in and they think they can coach him up and make him, you know, better than he's shown, right? And if there's something that, you know, maybe appeals to Tom Clements about getting another project to work on and improve his game, and maybe that helps keep Tom Clements around. I'm all for that. So,
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a bit ruthless. Pratt and Sean Clifford. God, Sean Clifford.
I agree with that.
The drop off between Love and Clifford, like there, you know, there were people in the internet that like Sean Clifford over
to
Jordan
start
Love.
Over Jordan Love last summer. Those were real humans.
Wow. Well, maybe they weren't. Maybe they were bots, so we don't know.
No, because I met one in life, and he lives very close to you in Green Bay. We can talk about it offline. But there are human beings who wanted Sean Clifford to be the starter, not just to compete, but flat out gave him the starting job. Like, and now he's quarterback 3, which I think he should.
I just like, back when we had one Aaron Rodgers, it just didn't feel like we took quarterback very seriously for QB2
outside
and
of
QB3.
The starter. Right.
It just felt like, we got our guy, whatever. And I just, you know, I kind of miss that about the Packers, how no matter what, quarterback was like an important thing all across the board. And I like that. You need to have the ceiling be a little bit higher.
A little higher.
And the floor higher. So you make
which
a move.
Which is, I think, what
move.
This trade did. Yeah, I think this trade absolutely did that. It absolutely rose the floor a little bit in the quarterback room. And to your point, I think we take Brian at his word for what he said. Now, when he was talking at the Combine earlier this spring, you know, he said, I want to get back to drafting and developing quarterbacks. Well, obviously, Troy drafted one this year, and he drafted one last year, and one regressed, and one just wasn't up to snuff. But he saw another guy out there who, you know, obviously battling for a position in Tennessee, wasn't going to be on that roster, so he moves a 7th-round pick to get the guy, and a guy who's got a lot more upside than those other two. So I'm with you. I think, you know, they're still in the process of and business of trying to develop a young quarterback. He's just not a rookie. You know, so we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be interesting to see if he is the number 2 quarterback on Friday night. I suspect Sean Clifford will be elevated from the practice squad. I can't imagine that Matt LaFleur would be comfortable with the idea of having Willis go in there if something happened to Jordan Love. I'd be very surprised. This quickly turnaround wise. But hey, I've been surprised before. God knows.
Yep.
Then next up, some dour news. We got A.J. Dillon and Tyler Davis both placed on injured reserve, ending their seasons. This is tough stuff for both these guys. I mean, Dillon, we all, you know, followed along all offseason when he became a free agent and then came back to the Packers and came into camp in great shape, looked really good at the start of camp, and then suffered that stinger, and now he's down for the year. And then with Tyler Davis, that, I mean, you really feel for a guy who got hurt at the start of camp last year, missed the entire season, comes back and is ready to contribute, and now his year is done again. Another special team stalwart. Maybe they missed him last year on special teams, and that's why they fell from 22nd to 29th. Ever think of that?
Seems likely.
And then the Packers claimed a kicker. Corey, in your to continue with your ruthless theme here, said, no, the kickers we got on hand aren't good enough. Claimed Braden Narveson. I'm never going to get that name right. Narveson from Tennessee, another Houston transaction. I'm sorry, Houston, Tennessee transaction. And
they didn't claim when they traded, right? That was a trade?
No, they claimed him. Nope, he got cut.
How was he cut?
Because the Titans have a veteran kicker, Nick Folk, who's been in the league forever.
So the idea, they told him. Show, mm-hmm. What? They told him what?
The Titans told him that the idea was they wanted to sign him as an undrafted free agent, and they had planned to cut him and then put him on their practice squad. But the Packers came in and said, no, thanks, we'll take him.
Yeah, I can't wait till Brian comes back on our show. I'm just going to say that right now.
Just promise me you'll be nice. That's all
I got
need.
Some
that's
nice things to say to Brian about the kicker and punter.
Right. Yep. I think you may have said them already. The last time he was on the show. But,
I think I said them, but like a lot of – I think, you know –
You just want to say I was right? It's like,
No, Brian. I was right. I just want to – No, because I don't want to be on staff. I think that would be a wasted pick. Yeah. But, I mean, I would like to hang out with him. But other than that, you know, I just – it's not about being right. It just has his thinking change. And also, like, the fact that – I don't know. It's just interesting. It's interesting. I just like it. I like the cutthroatness from the Packers on quarterback and special. Like this hanging on to a bunch of fucking specialists that we think might improve was just driving me nuts. So I like it. Much better. Much better approach. Even if this guy fucks us, like, it's fine. It's better than what we had.
Hopefully. We'll see. We don't know. He's literally never made a kick in the NFL before.
Even if he misses four, here's the thing. If he makes the special the extra points, and right. He makes the longs and he misses the 40s, it's exactly what we had before.
We're back to where we were.
We haven't regressed.
Before we were missing the extra points as well, which made it problematic. But
so there you go.
You're kind of right. I mean, we're still ahead of the game in that regard. Now, how crazy is it going to be when we get to Brazil on Friday and the game is coming down till the end of the fourth quarter and the Packers are driving and they need a field goal to win it and homeboy has to get trotted out there to hit like a 49 yarder 3 seconds left to win it against the Eagles on the opening night of the Packers season? Like,
and he misses.
Is there every possibility that could happen?
And he misses. What do you think's gonna happen?
I'm just saying.
I mean, here's the thing. At some point, some new, like, Mike McDaniels-type coach, right, is going to come along, and he's going to refuse to kick at any time.
Yep.
And just go for it. And he's going to win a Super Bowl. Yep.
Let's hope so.
That would be incredible, by the way, if, like, a coach just came in and banked his entire coaching style on, like, I'm never going to kick the ball.
Well, we're not far away from that with Dan Campbell. We saw how far that went with the Lions last year. I mean – He got like to the NFC strategy. Championship game. He got to the doorstep of the Super Bowl and then said, I'm not kicking, and then didn't get to the Super Bowl. So it came close, but no cigar. Another transaction, Jonathan Ford, the former seventh-round pick, defensive lineman, he was placed on IR but with a designation to return. So this is one of those guys, Corey, that you make fun of me for watching, but he had a really good summer. And it was one of those cases where I was very, very surprised at how well he played up until suffering the injury. I think this new scheme suits him well. And I think if he is able to get back to the level that we saw during training camp, he could be an additional kind of, obviously just a rotational piece, but, you know, valuable in so much that it allows your line to stay fresh throughout the game. So we'll keep an eye on that. Another injury note, Marshawn Lloyd is back from the hamstring injury that he suffered in the first preseason game. However, at practice today, earlier this afternoon, he was only riding the stationary bike. He is listed as a did not participate. I'll be very, 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 very surprised if he plays on Friday night. Got to think Ellis Merriweather will probably be called up from the practice squad to be running back three behind Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson. Wilson himself on the injury report. So banged up in the backfield right now. No question about it. Which may or may not be concerning, depending on how much Josh Jacobs is able to handle. One other note when it comes to injuries, Romeo Doubs appeared on the injury report today with a hand injury. Hate that. Man, I want this guy right as rain when he's skying over defensive backs to bring down a touchdown. I haven't seen any reports yet from the locker room. I know he'll undoubtedly be asked about it if he's available. But listed as a limited participant in today's practice with a hand injury. And then, Corey, the Packers take off for Brazil tomorrow. They leave a little earlier tonight, but they are on their way tomorrow.
I was thinking about this. I really like what the NFL did for the Packers here. One, we get to play on Friday. That's
awesome.
Great.
Love it.
Then we get to come home on Saturday, and then we basically start the week and reset the clock. So it's like you're into – they'll probably have off on Sunday, I would imagine, or maybe
Matt said that,
or whatever.
Matt said that today. Yep.
And so you're off on Sunday. So you have this travel day. You're off on Sunday, and then you basically start a week as normal. So it's really nice if you're gonna do international travel. I feel like this is the way to do it if you're the NFL
team.
So
yeah,
it's nice.
100%, very much agreed. I mean, you don't have to worry about plopping it in the middle of everything during the season. Like, you get it out of the way right away. The other way, I think the NFL has done the Packers a huge favor. Corey, I said it at the top here, and I really believe it. It's going to be green and gold all throughout Sao Paulo. Like, remember when we were stopped in London?
I mean, not according to Eagles Twitter, bro. Eagles Twitter's like, oh, we travel so well. We're the Eagles. It's like, dude, nobody in Philadelphia. What are you even talking about? Like, what are you talking? And then somebody's like, Philadelphia is a national team. I'm like, bro, besides the Dallas Cowboys.
There is
no more national team than the Green Bay Packers. There are
international teams. Hello, what are we talking about here? Right?
It's like, what?
Here's the thing:
Eagles fans.
The Eagles do have a huge fan presence in Brazil. Like, that's not — I'm not denying that, and I'm not arguing that. But I don't think people outside of the Packers kind of blogosphere who interact with our friends in Brazil all the time. You and I have been kind of online talking to these people literally for over a decade, right? I don't think most of the NFL community understands how incredibly rabid and huge the fan base is for the Packers in Brazil. And I think that is going to be shown out on Friday night. And I'm very, very excited about it. What do we got? What's next? We got to look at the initial 53-man roster, Corey. I know you're very excited.
God. Why did you even put this in the script? I was so excited to talk about offense, and then I just saw this freaking Nagler. We've already talked about it. What are the things?
No, you and I have not, sir. All of us who do day-to-day stuff content-wise when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, yes, we have. But you and I have not.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Third year in a row, the Packers have carried at least 10 offensive linemen. I love this. I want this. It's the most important part of your offense. I want bodies. I want numbers. And the fact that they kept, like, as many as they did, people were saying, like, well, they could have got them in the practice squad, whatever. Man, it's a premium position, offensive tackle. And I understand that these guys aren't world beaters. They're not all pros, but who knows who develops long term. I love having numbers at offensive tackle. I'm all about that life.
I mean, and speaking of offensive line, is there any world that exists where the offensive line isn't better than last year?
Sure. There's a world. I don't want to visit but
I feel like I feel like there's less alternate worlds where the Packers
there are fewer pathways to the fewer gateways to other dimensions where the offensive line is worse. Yes, that is I would buy that. No doubt.
That's what I'm thinking too. I think we're going to get an improvement, which that should be pretty good.
Especially earlier in the season. That's my thinking and hope right now. None of the 9 undrafted rookies from this collection in Green Bay made it this year, which put the 19-year streak of having at least one undrafted free agent rookie on the roster in week one in jeopardy until they claimed Narvison, who is an undrafted rookie, and he'll be on the roster week one. So it keeps the streak alive. Absolutely.
This was a hard streak to keep up for the Green Bay Packers, considering the amount of draft picks Brian has hoarded in the last 3 years. It's crazy.
Exactly. Well, as Wes pointed out in his piece, the four that made it last year are all still on the roster. So that tells you how they're developing these guys. You absolutely love to see it.
I like
Green Bay kept 9 of its 11 draft picks. To your point, Corey, they had 11 picks, right? And they kept 9 of them. The only guys who were released were Michael Pratt and Kalen King. Pratt now on the practice squad down in Tampa. Kalen King on the practice squad in Green Bay. And I like King a lot. I think there's a lot of upside there. And speaking of draft picks, 33 of the 53 were drafted by Brian Gutekunst. So he's not as all in as Ted was, as far as like, I got to keep it home cooking, right? But mostly this is homegrown stuff, and I like that.
I mean, what's kind of interesting about Pratt, it's interesting that he didn't, you know, get rid of Clifford and then keep Pratt around.
That's where I thought he was going. I thought that's where they were going. I really did.
It's like, why he must have seen something that he didn't see when he drafted him, that he just was like, no way, this ain't happening, and you got to move
on. Well, that's my question, right? I mean, maybe it's either the grasp of the offense or lack thereof, or an ability to operate the offense at the level and or, I guess, the acumen to be able to do so. I don't know. But, you know, you saw all his college tape, and he certainly has a stronger arm than Clifford. I don't think there's any denial of that. But for whatever reason, they like the way Clifford operates, and they were fine letting Pratt walk. So, I don't know. It'd be an interesting question the next time you talk to Brian Gutekunst. Okay, let's talk about the offense, shall we? Speaking of, as we were a bit ago, about the offensive line, Sean Ryan gets the start at right guard according to the depth chart, which is quote-unquote
official.
The depth
chart isn't – haven't we already determined that the depth chart is made by the marketing team?
In the first initial one at training camp is, yes. But the second one, the quote-unquote official start of the season depth chart, does get input from the coaching staff.
Is there any officialness to a depth chart? Like, is there any kind of, like, you have to submit a depth chart to the NFL or anything like that?
No.
So
no,
it's as far as, like... So you can you can bait and switch all you want, and there's no penalty.
Yes, and there's no penalty for that at all, if you chose to do that. But it is interesting that Sean Ryan gets that start. Jordan Morgan has been back at practice now for a while, and I'm curious to see if he gets kind of rotated in and the Packers kind of hit the ground running with their rotation up front. You know, we saw last year that right guard spot was rotated all second half of the season. Maybe they just start, because Matt said there's probably going to be a rotation at some point. Some point could be Friday night. They get Jordan Morgan.
I mean, you got to imagine Jordan Morgan. It's Jordan Morgan's job to win. So go for it, kid. You
He's exactly. He was the starter before getting injured. I mean, that shoulder injury knocked him out way too long to like go back to him. But especially as a rookie playing in a new position. But I think they're going to have him in there at times. I really do. We'll see. Obviously, it all depends on where he is as far as his return from that shoulder injury and how confident they are. But it's something to look out for. The next thing on the offensive side is how heavy will Josh Jacobs' workload be? We've talked a lot, we the fans and media and people on the outside, about his ability to be a premier back. Clearly the kind of, I don't want to say comparison, but there's always going to be a comparison between what he's able to do in this offense and what Aaron Jones was doing at the end of last year, right? Now, I don't think Jacobs is ever going to be a 25 touch a game kind of guy. That doesn't exist in the NFL, right? But I do think there's a chance that he gets utilized a bit more by Matt LaFleur than LaFleur has ever kind of done with a singular running back. I'm fascinated to see how much he's used in the passing game in particular, because I think that's an untapped part of his game. It's been talked about a lot, the fact that he's never had a receiving touchdown in his entire NFL career, because he's been playing in offenses that date back to like Mike Holmgren-style West Coast, right? I think there's a good chance that LaFleur is going to utilize him in the passing game in a way that we have never seen with Josh Jacobs. So,
speaking of this,
I'm just
offense,
fascinated.
I mean,
see how it works.
I know this is speculation, but like, I guess I get like, I'm getting like 2011 vibes right now from this offense.
You're not the only one.
I just feel like at some point, and it could be like immediately, right? Like this, mm-hmm. It could be literally from the get. But at some point, this offense is going to click so much that it will be virtually unstoppable. It's a feeling
virtually
I have.
Virtually unstoppable.
Just a feeling I have. I mean, you just look across the board. It's not just young talent. It's like the way these guys click with each other on the first and all the starters, from the tight ends to the running backs, even dropping AJ. You know, AJ, you lose pass pro, but like, what do you key on as a defense? It's so hard. You know, Josh Jacobs
very
is
hard.
An obvious key, but other than that, there's not a lot of things that, you know, stand out about this offense that you can key on, really.
Well,
besides
that,
Christian Watson and Josh Jacobs.
But that's the thing, right? We talked about this a lot this offseason, but as far as a defensive coordinator's approach to the Packers offense, yes, 100%, you want to make sure that Josh Jacobs doesn't get going, because he'll just gash you all day if you do. But you can't do that at the expense of, and this is what Dan Quinn talked about to the guys at Fox last year when they were leading up to the Packers playoff game in Dallas, right? The Packers offense does such a good job of making the plays all look the same from pre-snap to the handoff to the running back, unless it's play action and the boot and whatever. Like, the plays are all kind of run at the same clip and they look identical initially, and getting a bead on, especially on early downs, first down in particular, like not being able to, okay, I want to send my linebackers to make sure I plug these holes and stop the run. But then all of a sudden Jordan's pulling the ball and there's somebody down the seam screaming wide open, a Musgrave or whoever. And now that's very rudimentary, but it is a very real problem. Are you rolling coverage to Christian Watson? And if so, good luck with Jaden Reed in the slot getting one-on-ones in a two-way go. And if you are, like, okay, fine, we're going to make sure we go heavy on one side. We're going to play, like, try a cover six or a zone on one half and man on the other. Well, now we're talking about Dontavian Wicks getting matched up with your probably third corner, if not fourth. And to quote Morgan Freeman in Batman, good luck. You know, there's so many ways that the Packers can hurt you in this offense with this group. And Corey, to your point, it's not just the fact that they're young, right? They are young and they are ascending and they are exciting, but it's a big part of the component that they went through the fire together last year as a group. Like, to the guy, right? All that we went through Musgrave getting yelled at on the sideline on Monday Night Football, right? We went Jaden Reed rounding off a route that Jordan Love thought he was going to cut sharply, right? There's so many moments last year where you can look at early in the season when they were struggling, right? When they were really struggling to, hell, get first downs, let alone score touchdowns. They went through all of that together. And now, they're a year later, they've seen how effective they can be. That stretch, that 6-7-game stretch at the end of the year, they're explosive as hell. They know each other really well. They know the offense really well. They've been through that fire together, and now they've had a whole offseason to build on that. That's what gets me so excited. Like, no question about it. Finally, speaking of those young, exciting tight ends, I would look out for 12 personnel on Friday night. I know Matt's kind of been asked about this, and he's mentioned that it's something we're going to see a little bit more of, and those two tight ends getting on the field, certainly going to be a wrinkle that, you know, they've obviously utilized some of that in the kind of few games that they've had the two of them on the field together last year, because they both missed so much time with injury. But I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities in a game where they throw out 12 personnel to make it look like, oh, we're gearing up to try and smash mouth this with Josh Jacobs. and then release one of these guys into the flat or send them down the seam or, you know, and look, I'll throw Ben Sims in here too. I think Sims has had a really good camp, and I think he's a guy that you key on him if you're a defensive coordinator. You see him in the huddle, you're like, okay, they're running the ball, right? I don't think they're afraid to utilize him in the passing game as well. So
I thought you were going to go throw Henry Pearson in there. That's what I thought you were going to do.
Henry Pearson's no longer with us in Green Bay, unfortunately.
I thought he got re-signed to the practice squad. Didn't that just happen?
He got re-signed prior to right at the end of camp, but then he was released. But they did sign Andrew Beck, a fullback who played with the Texans.
How did I miss that? I was trying to stay up on everything. Yeah. I saw he was re-signed, and I was all excited about it.
He was. Yeah, I was very excited.
What am I going to do with my? What am I going to do with my Henry Luke Pearson Musgrave signed football? Henry Pearson signed helmets?
Oh, it's a helmet. That's right. I don't know.
Two
man.
Helmets and a football.
Henry Pearson.
Henry Pearson. We barely knew you. I guess there's not a lot of Henry Pearson autographs. So
there you go. Very rare. You can say this is the signature of a man who went in orbit motion that set up a wide open Tucker Kraft against the Chiefs in 2023. There you go. That's your claim to fame.
Wow. That's pretty great. That's so demure and very obscure.
Yeah, there we go. Let's talk about the defense, shall we? Because God knows, I'm trying not to get too excited. Hafley was extra vanilla in preseason. If you were sitting out there as a viewing member of the public and thinking, this is the new defense, no, that was not the new defense in any way, shape, or form. That was the absolute hyper vanilla version of the defense. The amount of like cover three and cover two and really bland, boring stuff that they ran in the preseason cannot be overstated. I am very excited to see the switch come get turned on Friday night. Let's put it that way.
So what you're telling me is that I'm not going to be hearing you from Brazil. Oh, I just knocked over some carry the G. What you're telling me? Well, they were empty cans. They're behind me.
Good.
What you're telling me is that you think that you're not going to be screaming. Oh yeah, you're in the press box, right? So you can't be screaming.
Here's an interesting wrinkle, though. Interesting wrinkle. Not only am I in another country, so who knows what the rules are there, but the press box, as it is outside, in the seats with the fans.
Oh,
so
snap.
Kind of not. It doesn't sound similar to where we were, how we were set up in London. You know how it was like out open air. It was its own section, though.
You mean you, right?
Yeah. We, the media. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's similar to where I sat at MetLife for the Super Bowl, because that was Aux Press, and they said it has a very Aux Press feel, and I was like, nice. I'm a veteran member of Aux Press. Thank you very much.
You love Aux Press.
I'm all about
that.
But
so what
life.
You're telling me is that you're not going to be screaming. I guarantee the first time the Packers line up 11 yards off the ball on a first and 10 or 7 yards off the ball
three,
on a third and
sir,
six.
Third and three
and they're 5 yards off the ball and no press, I guarantee you'll be saying something on Twitter.
I'm not allowed to
tweet. You can't say on
Twitter is illegal in Brazil,
thing,
sir.
I heard from people there that they were tweeting and they didn't get fined. So I'm not paying your fine, by the way.
No, I
know. She said
the VPN
TV
is the way to do
not
it.
Be paying your fine.
No, the VPN is the way to do it. I haven't gotten any clarification on it because some people have reported that the VPN fines have been rescinded while happening. And I've seen other people say, no, it's still very much on. So I'm just not tweeting while I'm down there.
I just hope, honestly, I hope for everything. I know it will, but I just hope that – I know the players are going to be fine, but I just hope that everything goes well for the whole Brazil thing because everything's been blown out of proportion, and I just hope it's just a whole nothing burger that I think it's going to be as far as, like, everybody's going to have a great time, and I'm going to be so jealous when everybody comes back and talks about Brazil, and I hate you. But other than that, how was the play?
Other than that, we're totally fine.
Do.
How deep will the Packers roll at defensive line, Corey? This is my question. How much of a kind of – and I think Paul Breddell put this image in my mind earlier this offseason, but how much of a like hockey line shift change will this be? Like, are we going to see these guys actually rotate? Is Kenny Clark not going to have to play 90% of the snaps? That's my that's my dream here. Obviously, you want Kenny Clark on the field, but, man, I want him fresh in the fourth quarter. So I'm that's one thing I'm really going to have an eye on, because I think they have the capability, finally, of being able to really kind of keep guys fresh, and I hope they utilize that.
I'm ready.
Finally, look, we all know Jaire Alexander is the man. Jaire Alexander is the man, but man, I think Stokes and Nixon are about to have targets on their backs in this game.
Oh yeah,
I think. You know, the Eagles are going to work.
They got plays for Stokes all day. They got plays probably called Stokes.
And look, that's not to say Stokes can't step up, right? I think he can. I think there's going to be a great challenge for him right out of the gate. Certainly had a decent camp. But, man, it's a whole other world, like you said earlier. It's not game speed. This is game speed, man. This is lights are on, and Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown are coming for you. I think this is going to be a really stiff test right out of the gate for not just Stokes, but Keyshawn Nixon, man. The addition of Dotson for the Eagles, that's problematic. That you give him ample space and let, you know, Nixon say, okay, I got him, man. That could get late real early for the Packers defense, which is why I think we'll see a little bit more zone than maybe we're expecting. And I know everyone's like hyped up for the man match stuff, maybe a little bit more man than we've seen under Joe Barry. I think there's a decent chance we see a bit more zone than people are expecting.
I really don't see Halfley going. Yeah, I don't see him going crazy, man. Not right out of the gate. But hey,
we shall
maybe
see.
Maybe he's all gas, no effing breaks on defense.
Maybe he's like, you know, got to risk it with the biscuit.
Rip the Band-Aid off right now. Just
let's go. Let's do it. See who can sink or swim. And other cliches.
I like that. That's how I do. That's how I do, actually. I like pushing people. I like pushing people into the pool and being like, oh, can you do this? Oh, no, you can't. Okay, bye.
I better throw you something. That's good. I love it. All right, let's get to it. Let's do it. First time this season. Let's go. That's right! It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you know how in the intro of this show it says, in Michael Abbott's sonorous tones, two guys who like to think they know something about football, though we understand we really don't know much about football at all. But you know who does? You know who knows a lot about football? Dusty Evely. Ladies and gentlemen, I implore you, if you are watching this either live or on a repeat showing, if you're listening to the podcast afterwards, wherever you are and however you're hearing my voice, I implore you to subscribe to Dusty's Film Room on YouTube. I mean, this gentleman here, look at this. He made a 31-minute video breaking down Malik Willis's 2024 preseason. Not his NFL career. Not the multiple starts he's had in the NFL. His 2024 preseason. A half hour, ladies and gentlemen.
I watched some of it. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not get through the whole thing because I like Malik Willis, but I don't love him yet, so I couldn't get through it all. But Dusty,
it was a pretty
great job. I mean, I was just like, wow, if I really needed to know everything about Malik Willis at this moment in time, that's how you do it.
Dusty's such a legend, man. He is no longer contributing to Cheesehead TV as a writer. We're hoping he'll be continuing to do some video for us this season. Back on that next week. But Dusty's the man. Absolutely love him. Make sure you subscribe to his channel. Another tidbit. From the world of Packers fans, at least, Coach McKinney dropped this right before we went live. Absolutely love to see this. Guess who was chosen as the Packers Operation Fan Mail Veteran for the 2024 Lambeau season opener? Me. Huge shout out to Aaron Nagler for the reminder when entries were being taken. I can't believe the committee picked me for the home opener. Hashtag Packers. Grateful. I mean, that is awesome. For those of you who don't know, Operation Fan Mail is a series that they've done over the course, I want to say the last 17 years now, where before the home opener, they honor a former member of the military and their family.
Oh,
and so they bring them out to midfield and they announce their name and, you know, what how they were affiliated with the military, what branch, etc. And basically all of Lambeau gives them a standing ovation. I mean, nice. It's pretty amazing. And they get obviously tons and tons of submissions every year. And I did, like, when the Packers announced that they were taking the entries, I had tweeted about it. And clearly he coached there, saw it, applied, and got picked. So congrats. It's awesome. It's just a cool, really cool moment for military families before the home opener each and every year. Pretty great. You know what else is pretty great, Corey?
What's that?
Carry the G. It's back. Ladies and gentlemen, nice. Boys and girls, look at this. Carry the G Cream Ale. It is back across shelves across the great state of Wisconsin. Speaking of the great state of Wisconsin, if you are sitting there going, you know, where can I find it in this great land of ours, in the state of Wisconsin? Well, head to cheeseheadtv.com, click on the beer tab, and look at this. You've got the interactive map that shows you all of the spots, every single store that is carrying Carry the G at this moment. So go to the map, enter your, the zip code, and it will show you all the stores in your area.
You can enter you can actually enter your address, and it'll show you what's closest to you.
There you go. And if no one is, and if you are like, oh, well, my favorite store down the street, they don't have it. Well, ask them. We work with two different distributors who basically cover the entire state. And if you ask your folks for it, they will get it. And then you'll get some and you'll be happy and the Packers will win and they'll go to the Super Bowl and you'll ascend to wherever you believe in and life will be great. That's what's going to happen if you drink Carry the G this year. That's what I'm talking about.
True story.
We were talking earlier about the Brazil fans and Corey, I'm telling you, I am very excited, but I'm very curious to see what this event is. On Thursday night, we have partnered with Packers Brazil, the largest fan group, Packers fan group in Brazil. We are having a watch party on Thursday night, the night before the Packers game, watching the Chiefs and Ravens kick off the NFL season. Apparently, the venue is large enough that there's going to be a band playing. And there's going to be like prizes and stuff, and they're having it's a throwdown. So the folks at Packers Brazil sent me a clip via Instagram the other day of like, here's the band that's playing, and they're legit as hell. Like I knew it was
we're getting like an email every hour of people being like, where is Nagler going to be in Brazil? Right. I just forwarded you like two today.
It's going to be a happening. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be sweet. I'm very jealous. I'm just going to be honest. I knew that I could potentially go, and then I didn't pull the trigger. And now I'm like, obviously, I'm going to be mad this week, and I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life. So thank you for that.
Sorry about that. All right. We'll move on to
It's something
to more
I'm dealing with,
matters.
But I can move on. I'll move on. And
I didn't
I'll
want
just
to bug you about
it.
I was going to bring it up like a month ago.
Oh, no, no.
Like,
it was you know, on my mind. I was ready to pull the trigger. It was on my mind. Yeah. And I, you know, honestly, it wasn't like I couldn't. But it couldn't, and I'm just gonna live with that for this moment. And but right now, today, I'm dealing with some shit for the next 4 days. So, but yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm gonna be reminded of it while I'm by myself for 3.5 hours talking about the Packers in a lonely room by myself on the stream. So yeah,
it's kind of like I did on New Year's Eve. So yeah, welcome. It's gonna be good. You're gonna have a great time. Corey's gonna be hosting the watch party here on Cheesehead TV Friday night. For those of you like Corey who aren't going to the game, who are not traveling to Brazil, we will still be having watch party. Corey will be hosting it. As you heard, he's very afraid of being lonely. I think that's a personal issue he needs to talk to his therapist about. But in the meantime, help him out. Show up for the watch party. It's going to be a lot of fun. Corey's going
to
throw it
down. I think everyone's afraid
of
being lonely, to be honest with you, Nagler. But that's another story for another day.
Some more than others. Finally, last bit in the blogosphere here. I hope people are aware. I guess maybe people aren't. Although the numbers continue to grow, so I think people are starting to learn about it. Make sure you sign up for the Cheesehead Nation newsletter. We started this earlier this offseason. We've now hit the point of the season where we're going to be starting to have two newsletters every week, which will both include specific subscriber-only content, exclusive content you can't get anywhere else. Ken Lass does a post-game, every single game, column that's pretty expansive and inclusive of everything that happens in each and every game. Andy Herman and I are doing videos throughout the week that will be included in the Thursday newsletters. Paul Bredel and I are going to be doing exclusive podcasts after certain games. We're not going to be doing every single one, unfortunately, but most of the games, awesome. Paul and I will be doing exclusive podcasts that you can only get in the newsletter, etc. So even if you don't want the exclusive stuff, make sure you sign up for the newsletter in and of itself. There's still plenty of information, memes, all the stuff happening at Cheesehead TV, all the news about the Packers, everything happening in the whole sphere of Cheesehead TV is included in the newsletter every Monday or day after the game and every Thursday morning. So be sure you sign up. And if you want exclusive content, make sure you subscribe to the exclusive stuff. It's good stuff. And like I said, we started, what, 3-4 months ago? And
yeah,
we've really kind of hit our stride now, I want to say. And it's exciting now that the season's starting. There's a ton more content to feature. Only continuing to grow. Make sure you hop on board. And the link, if you want to sign up, the link is in the description of this video. So do it. I think it's time to hear from some folks on YouTube there, Corey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got Massimiliano Margagliotti. I feel so blessed as a Packer fan. Go Pack, go.
True blessings.
Adrian Wright. Adrian, is it true that tailgating began at Packer home games in the 1920s? That's an
excellent question. I'm not entirely sure. I do know there was tailgating going on in the 40s because my grandparents were part of it. But other than that,
yeah,
I don't
there's
know
definitely
the start
tailgating
in the 20s.
Going on. Yeah, you know what? I wish my grandpa Banky was still alive. He could tell me when he first started tailgating. But I don't know. I would imagine it started in the Midwest somewhere, and it was college
had
that
to
started.
Have, right?
I just had to I have. Feel like that vibes that checks
that
out.
Makes all the sense
college
in the world.
Has been around for so long. I feel like right. It probably started in like the 1890s or something. That's what my gut tells me. Ed. Thanks for the super chat. For the plane, Stan Getz, Charlie Bird, Jazz Samba, and Gato Barbieri, Bolivia. Old school, but both still hold up. Come back with a win.
Dude, I'm all about anything Stan Getz. Down with that.
There's this amazing Brazilian album by this bassist, and I think I played it for you in school because I used to listen to it all the time. John... Oh no, I can't remember his name, but it's like an homage to Brazil, to that style, to all
right.
of the Gato, Charlie Bird, like to kind of that jazz mm-hmm. style and like mixing the samba and stuff. But John Pettit. No, I can't remember now. Oh look, Nicholas put something in Slack for me. Okay, so I'm gonna read this. I believe this is what the internet told Nicholas. The origins of tailgating as a tradition at American football games can be traced back to the 1800s Civil War era, but the term tailgating itself became popular in the 1920s.
There you go.
I don't know where he didn't source that, so he just said that's what the internet told him, so who knows. Who knows? He probably put it in ChatGPT or something. I don't know anymore. Right. Jerry
I just
Sterzinger.
Love I just love that it goes
chat.
Back to the Civil War.
Yeah. During the Civil War. They're like, let's watch the Civil War and drink some beer.
And drink some beers.
Have some nice snacks. Oh, Negs, thanks for getting us through the offseason. Please add to the Straight Flight to Brazil Fund per Carry the G Radio. Safe travels. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Support.
Appreciate you, brother.
Ryan Willie, do you believe the special teams coach will last the entire season if the special teams vote continues? Yeah,
yes.
He's the assistant head coach at this point.
He's the assistant head coach. And if Joe Barry didn't get fired after that Tampa game, I can't imagine Bisaccia being dismissed.
Yeah, even if they're 32nd, he's not going to get fired.
It's not
Andy Fusaro, here's to a safe flight, guys. Can't believe we're finally here. Go Pack, go. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you.
Mimsy, trial by fire for kicker to debut in a soccer pitch. I think he's going to do all right.
He's going to do all right.
I think,
he's going to hold up.
I think his wife's family's vibes are going to keep him going. That's what I think.
There you go.
What is it? It's not Peshtigo. Where's she from?
No, I can't remember the name of it. It was a town I literally
and it's not
Peshtigo.
It's a P, though. It's a P. Damn it, I knew it. I had it. I had it, and I lost it. JP, what media member will Corey beef with this year? What do you mean? I don't have any beefs. I have zero
beefs.
All
of them.
Although, you know who's really annoying? You know who's, like, super annoying more than – and he's not really a media member. He's not really a media member. Not he's kind of like – he's kind of – honestly, he's kind of like the Chris Hovel of today's – he's the he is because he never goes to practice. He never comes to Green Bay. He's the Chris Hovel of the Packers media.
Who's this?
Who do you think I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
Bukowski.
Yeah, but
he's
that's
so annoying.
Old, that's
he
an
just
old
puts
beat.
Stupid
that's,
shit
you've
all the
hated
time.
Him forever.
That's I
not
know.
New.
But he puts dumb. It's so funny how like Tyler will like retweet some of his stupid things he says, and it's like he doesn't stop tweeting stupid things. Like I don't get it. Like it's like you know how like AI like it learns. He's like he's like the opposite of AI. Whatever AI is, like IA, he's IA.
He's IA.
Like you know
not,
how like
not
the human
learning
brain,
while he goes.
Like you're supposed to yeah, like. Like, you're supposed to get better. Like, mm-hmm. I've gotten a little bit better. I know more about football than I knew before, you know, over the last 17 years. What is this?
17 years of doing it.
290,000?
Yep. 79. So, 279.
How? Yeah. Anyway, Lockdown Packers is annoying, so go check it out. Peppers. Jason Sayre. Has Brian ever talked about what he saw in Love pre-draft? I've always been curious on if they really saw something special in Love or really just was best player and we got lucky.
Well, I don't think if it was best player, they wouldn't have traded up for him. And I think yeah. he's talked about it a handful of times, but it's never been anything too specific. Because, you know, if you're in that position, you don't want people kind of zeroing in on, oh, they're going to be looking at this, so this is what they look for, etc. But I specifically remember, and of course it was Jason Wilde who asked him the question last summer, last season during the season when
that checks out.
Jordan had really kind of started taking off. You know, Brian has spoken about it, but only in the most general ways, and I'm not surprised at that.
Prescott, thank you, Pac Daddy. Thank you, Prescott. He's from Prescott. His wife's from Prescott.
Prescott,
the kicker. See,
you were right about
P.
the P. It was a P. There
I'm
you
as
go.
Dumb as I look, but not as stupid as they think. Here we go. What do we got next? Oh, yeah, I got to go VQ. Luke Carnes, welcome back.
What's up,
thanks
Luke?
For always carrying the G. Please use the super chat to buy the intern a beer. He's been on a heater all day on X. Yeah, he's been retweeting Peter Bukowski. I don't call that a heater, bro. I call that just to keep. That's like, you know what? Peter Bukowski on Twitter is like compost. He's like compost. You know how, like, you need compost to grow food?
Right.
So, like, you just need – and you know what compost is made of?
Isn't it garbage or no?
Yeah, garbage. Yeah, so he's like compost.
Okay.
But you kind of need it. Con Krug, thanks for the super chat. There's a very good chance Sao Paulo will be dry of alcohol by game time Friday. That checks out.
Yeah, because I'll be there on Wednesday, so good chance.
Yeah. Well – if they have any spotted cow in Brazil, here's the thing you guys don't know about Nagler.
Here we go.
I swear to God, if you just – it doesn't matter how much spotted cow you put in your refrigerator. I am talking about you could just – I knew Aaron was coming, and I put in like two cases of spotted cow. How many spotted cows do you think are in my refrigerator at this moment in time? None.
Eight?
Zero. You know what? I have zero, and actually, I do have some in cans, so it's not zero. I should have said how many in bottles.
Right.
But you have there is not a spotted cow in a bottle that Aaron Nagler hasn't like. I wonder. You know, if spotted cow was available in New York, I would feel sorry for your girlfriend because you know whether you chose your girlfriend or spotted cow at this point. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is
beer.
About Spotted
I can't
Cow,
help it,
but
man. I love it. I love it. And before everybody gets in their nerd, like, Moon Man is better. I agree. I actually do agree Moon Man is a better beer, but there's some about
if you,
being in Wisconsin
but it's a,
and drinking.
Yeah, but Moon Man's an IPA.
Spotted Cow.
Spotted Cow's just, cream ale.
I love Spotted Cow. Man.
American Pale Ale. Excuse me, Dan. Sean Gallagher. My piss is boiling hot for the kickoff.
Let's go, Sean. Let's go.
I think he gave us a euro. I think he put it. I think that's euros.
Two euros. €2.
Is that euros? That's euros, right?
Euro Mimsy. 99 pence.
Are the boomers prepared? Are the boomers prepared for a Peacock exclusive? I don't think it's just the boomers, Menzie.
Man, it ain't just boomers complaining about the Peacock thing. That is for sure.
Boomers. I'm not even a boomer yet. I'm not a boomer. It's not a boomer. What do we got?
Not the boomer.
Bukowski's intelligence is artificial. Joe Mailman, great having Watson healthy, but last year I thought Love was sometimes forcing the ball to Watson. Love is best when he stays within the offense.
Okay. I feel that. I think especially early on they were trying to make that connection happen. I think as you kind of went along in the season, even when Watson was healthy, I mean, did you see Detroit? Did you see the Chiefs? I wouldn't call that forcing the ball to Watson. I think he threw it to his best receiver when the situation called for it. I agree with you, though. Early in the season, I think it was a bit forced at times. But
yeah,
I think they found a pretty good rhythm when Watson was still healthy before the end of the season.
Also, one of our main producers, Jeremy, just let us know on Slack that for those of you in the Wisconsin area, the game is not just on Peacock. Because of NFL rules, the game is in the state.
Over the air.
So really what's called Packers Television Network, which is an over-the-air broadcast network, which is different from Packers Radio Network. But if you look up Packers Television Network, which is funny because during the preseason, if you look this up, it's not always right because it's normally NBC 26, but because of the because of the
Olympics were happening
at the time,
in the summer, it was different.
But now it's pretty much going to always be NBC 26. But what you should do is check out Packers Television Network. It's on their website and it shows all of the stations. And there's some stations. What's really cool about the Packers and what the Packers have done is their stations in Alaska. I think there's a station.
Iowa.
Not Canada, but Iowa, near Nebraska.
Nebraska,
yeah, so their local network is not – I keep dropping Carry the Cheese. Their local network is not just
Well, until Friday, it's preseason for everyone. So you just keep knocking. Yeah. You knock whatever you need to knock over. It's all good.
Overpowered by Monk. Love y'all. Go Pack MF Go. I like it.
There you go.
Dag. Thanks for Super Chat. The Pack is back. Go, baby.
Damn
Kevin McConville, week one is the perfect time for the don't drink and drive PSA because you can destroy families doing so. Thoughts and prayers to the Gaudreau family.
No question about it. That was the saddest shit I've seen in a long time. No question.
It's really sad. It's very true. You know, you get excited for everything. You got to drink responsibly, people. Drink responsibly. Just so you know, Aaron Nagler is not driving anywhere. If he's going to drive anywhere tonight,
correct,
it's going to be an Uber.
That
Andrew's
right.
Paradise, porta potty, Limburger cheese, landfills, rotting fish heads, and the Chicago Bears. That is all. Also, you know what's really funny? Okay, here's what's crazy, you guys. You know what? I meant to have this. So Packers Everywhere gave me a lanyard, I think in London. So,
in London.
You know, a
yep.
lanyard.
I was there when you got it.
So it's a yep. yellow lanyard. It has Green Bay logo on it. And so I found myself in the United Center recently for a week or so. I think it was there for 2 weeks. I'm not going to tell you what I was there for. But I was in the United Center. So that's where the Bulls play. That's like in Chicago. That's like, you know, like very vaunted Chicago championship arena. And I had a lanyard on, and I swapped it out for my Green Bay Packers Everywhere lanyard. And I just want to tell you, one person said something about that lanyard. One person said, oh, this is how far the Bears have fallen. They've fallen so far that they basically don't have any fans anymore. Like, all of their fans are closet fans because they're so afraid of the Green Bay Packers that even the colors of the Green Bay Packers, they don't want to say anything about. It's kind of sad.
They're afraid in real life, but then they get on Twitter in the off season and they're full of juice, you know, because they're anonymous.
But it's just kind of sad, you know, like I just thought like, hey, this is how I'll meet people. Like, people will talk shit about the Green Bay Packers and then we'll talk about Bears and Packers and nothing.
Nothing.
No shit talk. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you went to the Resch Center and you wore a fucking Chicago Bears lanyard at any point in time at either the Resch Center or Fiserv Forum or
right.
shit, even the University of Wisconsin, okay? Even like the
right.
University of Wisconsin Stadium, right? Whatever that's called. I can't remember.
Camp Randall.
Camp Randall. they would definitely talk shit about your Bears lanyard. So, like,
I would think
Bears
so,
fans,
yes.
Where are you at? Where are you at? Hook it up. Mimsy, Prescott, Wisconsin, south of Hudson, Wisconsin, a carry the G primo market.
Primo market, Hudson. What's up,
Hudson? You know what? We should ask. You know what? We should put in a media request to ask the new kicker's wife if she's ever had carry the G in Prescott, Wisconsin.
I don't think Packers PR is hooking us up with players' wives for interviews, but I can ask.
Nagler, yeah. I need you to think outside the box for a second.
Okay. Outside the box.
Thanks.
I'm there.
Cheeto, 0218. What's up, fools? Pack win by 10 or 20. I'm throwing in a Bears and Vikings loss too. Also, I like the beard game, Manscaped. Just curious. We got a lot of kickers. Andrew Bushiger, kicker's wife is from Prescott. Thank you. I love it when people pay us to tell me an answer. I've never had that happen before. That's fun. It's kind of funny. I'm going to pay you with the answer. I'm paying you with the thing you requested. Thank you. I appreciate the support.
Cheeto.
Thank you. Andrew Ware. Cheeto. What are you, 10 or 20? I think 10. Andrew Ware.
10.
Carrying 10 O-linemen, inject that shit into my effing veins. I like Kenny in September. I need Kenny in January and February. It's almost time, gentlemen.
Let's go, Andrew Ware.
What's up, Andrew?
Andrew knows what's up.
He Soder, pro tip, stock the fridge with Blue Moon.
Oh, I hate you, Soder. I've never liked you.
How is that a pro?
Because he knows I hate Blue Moon. So
Blue Moon's
he
trash. Said
he's saying to you,
I used to
put lots of Blue Moon in your fridge and I won't drink it. Which is very
Blue
true.
Moon is trash. Let's just be real.
Correct. Thank you.
It was
fellow
it
traveler.
Was a, you know what?
Thank you.
You know when it was a good beer when there were no other craft beers in the world, but those days are gone. Uncultured Barbarian. It's not even time for Banky on the Beat, and he's tearing Bukowski a new one. It's definitely football season. R.I.P. Rich McGeorge or R.P. Rich McGeorge.
Random Packer.
RIP, though, right? No, Random Packer.
Random Packer.
Oh.
Rich McGeorge.
I'm not with the lingo, you guys. Rich McGeorge.
It's a Packers daily thing. Yeah.
I understand. I don't watch that show. When was
Rich McGeorge? No idea.
Who is Rick McGeorge?
Truly random. That's a truly random Packer. Right?
Who is Rick McGeorge? Find me Rick McGeorge. I need Rich.
We need a
Someone
Rich McGeorge
looks like Rick
jersey.
McGeorge. What? Wait, when did he play?
I have no idea.
I've never heard of.
No clue.
Who the hell is Rich McGeorge? What a great.
It sounds like a Madden generated player.
Rich McGeorge. Like. Oh, look at this, Nicholas Rich McGeorge. Here's the Wikipedia. He was born in 1948. Oh, wow. He's a tight end for 9 seasons with the Green Bay Packers of the National Football League. So there you go. So he must have been
truly random.
1948 plus 20. So, wow. But he was in the 60s, though. He must have played in the 60s. But why do we not know who Rich McGeorge is? That's weird. He is. He's kind of a random. He played on championship teams, potentially. Interesting. He was drafted. What? He was drafted in the 70s.
He was drafted in the
70s.
So that would understandably why. Has been lost in the midst of time.
1970s player. There you go. Yeah, that makes sense. I got Heath Soder. Heath Soder.
2024 is here. Go Pack, go.
Thank you.
Go Pack, go.
We did it.
Let's go,
we did
Soder.
It.
Awesome. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Lots of you. We had our most well-attended happy hour in a long time on Monday night. Really appreciate each and every one of you. We always say it because it's true. You guys are the lifeblood of everything we do at Cheesehead TV. Cannot tell you thank you enough, but thank you eternally. As well as the Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. You guys, like I said earlier, need you to show up on Friday night. Show Banky some love and support as he carries you through the first watch party of 2024. Banky, you got anything else for the fine folks before we head out for the night?
No. We'll see you on Friday, everybody. It's going to be exciting. And don't make too much fun of me. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a great time. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation. And we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And And just, it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.